Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Another day, another episode.
That's right. Another dollar.
Sort of.
Kind of. Every now and then.
Money comes in periodically.
Comes in, it goes out. I don't know. I don't see it much in between.
It's like beer. You never really own it. You just kind of rent it for a while.
Yeah, it's like a guy I saw in the bar the other night. I walked in the bathroom, and he was just pouring a beer right in the urinal. And I said, what the hell are you doing? And he said, I'm cutting out the middleman.
So I got a funny story from work to tell you.
Yeah?
Well, last week there was a trial here in Cabell County. It was a murder trial. And evidently one of the defendants, I saw him. Or actually, it was the only defendant. He was a very studious-looking young man wearing a pair of glasses and looked like a student.
Mm-hmm. And he was one of the murder suspects?
No, he was on trial for murder.
He was the one on trial for murder?
Yeah.
Okay.
But very well-dressed, and like I said, very, very smart-looking with a pair of glasses.
Look like a murderer, huh?
Not at all. Hmm. And the jury came back and actually was a mistrial. They found him. They didn't find him guilty. Didn't find him not guilty. They basically, it was a hung jury. So
they said nobody that dresses that well and looks that smart with those glasses could have done this.
Well, it came back as a mistrial.
Right.
And so I was talking to one of the other attorneys about it.
So it wasn't a unanimous decision.
Yeah.
West Virginia is not like those other states we talked about.
Right. And it was a 10-2, actually.
So they would have been guilty in... Well, those other ones.
Yeah, I think it was Louisiana and one other place. But I think
like Oregon or Washington
State, or something? I think they were moving to change that. But anyway, So somebody said something about the defendant and how he looked, you know, was a good-looking defendant and, you know, didn't look like a murderer and all that. And they said, yeah, well, you know those glasses he was wearing? He goes, those have been passed around the jail. So whenever there's an incarcerated defendant, evidently, if you want to do well at trial, you wear these same pair of glasses that they just... They fast back and forth. These are like the lucky...
Those are the lucky acquittal glasses.
The lucky acquittal glasses.
If the glasses fit, you must acquit.
I just thought that was hysterical.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that you have to do. If you're a defense lawyer and your client is guilty, you lean on anything you can. If you can make him look innocent enough, I guess there's a few people in the jury that are dumb enough to say... Well, he doesn't look like he'd do that, as opposed to, listen to the evidence. That's what the evidence is there for.
It's going to cost us $1,000 to get a guy that looks like Matlock to sit behind us and nod his head. I think it's worth every penny.
Absolutely. You get Matlock to go for you, you got it made.
Well, it's only an actor. He just sits back there and nods his head.
That's okay.
So, yeah.
It's just like that short-lived show, The Grinder, with Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
And he'd go in there. He was a lawyer on TV. And then decided to kind of go into his brother's law firm and practice, even though he couldn't practice. But he would sit there as if he were a lawyer, and everybody thought he was a lawyer because he was so popular on TV.
You've referenced that a couple times.
It's a hilarious show. It only lasted one season or two seasons or something.
Yes, I don't know why.
Fred Savage was on it.
I had Fred Savage and Rob Lowe?
Yeah, they were hilarious together. That show was just absolutely hilarious.
Oh, well.
But it's gone now. Rob's now a doctor. He's moved from being a lawyer to a doctor. Now all he needs to do is be an Indian chief.
he'll be our theme song.
He'll be our theme song, Rob Lowe.
So this episode is going to be about extradition.
Couldn't tell it from the lead-in.
No, well, you know.
We're extraditing ourselves out of the lead-in and into the topic.
That's right. We're moving on over. So extradition is the action of extraditing a person accused or convicted of a crime. Basically moving them from... one jurisdiction where they are to where they can stand for the charges in a different jurisdiction.
Picking them up and moving them.
That's right. It happens actually all the time because believe it or not, sometimes people don't actually show up for court when they're supposed to.
What? They're not honest? Criminals aren't honest?
That's right. And sometimes they don't show up for court.
Damn, if you can't trust a criminal, who can you trust?
We have a lot of different extradition things that happen here in Cabell County, in part because we are the tri-state area.
Yeah, so they run back and forth across the river all the time. Sometimes they even try to swim it in the middle of the winter.
They do.
That's not a very successful ploy, though.
It ends badly.
We end up fishing them out, usually several weeks later.
Sometimes the Ohio River freezes over. I think it did it once or twice in my lifetime, maybe.
Yeah, it has.
I think I remember somebody telling me stories about being able to drive a car on it or something that was frozen so solid.
Well, that could be. You remember Maple Lake we lived at when we were in Bridgeport?
Yeah.
That lake used to freeze solid, and people would take, at the time it was three-wheelers. They hadn't started with four-wheelers yet. They'd take three-wheelers out on the ice and run them around.
I caught a lot of fish there.
Well, small ones.
Yeah.
With bits of hot dog.
Yeah, I remember.
Bamboo poles.
I remember I was young, and you all took me fishing there, and I think I caught like 30 or 40 fish in one day.
Yeah, we'd catch all those little, I don't know what those were.
Bluegill.
Bluegill?
Yeah. It was one after the other.
I'm not much of an outdoorsman. My type, my idea of roughing it is, you know, being in a motel that's got a black and white TV or something, you know.
That's really roughing it, huh?
Yeah, I don't even think they make black and white TVs anymore. Man, that's way out of date.
I got somebody a black and white TV for a graduation gift one year.
A long time ago?
It was probably about 2002. I saw it sitting in a Goodwill store, and I bought it for like $2 and said, I'm gonna buy them a TV.
I remember.
And actually, it was a camping TV, come to speak of it, so you could rough it out there with a black and white TV.
Yeah, with an antenna. I remember when my dad, when I was young, he got transferred for a temporary basis to Baltimore, Maryland. So when we went up and visited him, he had, of course, a little apartment set up that he was living in, and he had his own TV up there. But in Baltimore, Maryland, they got a whole lot more channels than we did back here in Huntington. You only got 2.5 channels in Huntington when I was growing up, and that, depending on the weather, was a half. So they had all these channels. So when he got transferred back here and he brought that TV back, I thought, great, now we can watch that TV and see all those Baltimore channels.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No, I found that out. I was really disappointed as a kid to find that out.
How old were you?
I was like 8,
I was gonna say,
9, something like that.
It was 2 weeks ago. But like I said, people don't show up for court all the time, especially around here, because there's different states that we border with. So we have a lot of people kind of traversing through here. We got Interstate I-64 running through here as well, so they get a lot of people that way too. Mm-hmm. But now, when somebody does not show up for court, and this is, say, like, if you don't show up for court here in West Virginia, what the judge is going to do is they're going to issue what's called a capias. And basically, a capias is a writ that orders the arrest of the person named in that capias. So that's one of the things that a judge will do. They'll show a capias for their arrest to bring them to court. If you don't come to court in West Virginia, also, you can be charged with a brand new crime, a failure to appear charge, which is actually a felony and carries a 1 to 5 year sentence on it. So basically, by not showing up to court, you are not doing yourself any favor. You are adding to the pile of charges that are going to be coming on top of you.
Well, I guess if you were going to writ one for like a whole gang instead of one person, then it would be a copious capious.
I guess it would be.
A cornucapious, if you will, if it was around Thanksgiving.
Judge, my client has a virtual cornucopia of capiouses. I'm gonna tuck that one away. I might actually use that one in court.
That's what RuPaul said.
And then also, a judge would also issue what's called an arrest warrant, which is probably what you've heard before. Which is a warrant issued by the judge or magistrate. And basically, that authorizes the arrest and detention of whoever that is. And also, they can basically be searched and seized as well when they're arrested, because it's part of the deal. So,
that just sounds funny. They can be searched and seized.
Yes, they can.
I have permission to search and seize you. If you go into a seizure, it's okay.
So now, oftentimes what happens, especially here, since we're not actually the forum court a lot of times for these, is that if somebody gets arrested for, say, they get pulled over for speeding, and then what will happen is the police will run the name through a database, and it's called the NCIC, generally, which stands for National Crime Information Center, and the police will look that up and see that, hey, okay, this person has an active warrant, say, out of Lawrence County, Ohio, which is right across the river. So what will happen is that they will take the person into custody at that point, advise them, hey, you have a warrant, so we're going to take you into custody. Then they'll appear before the circuit judge in Cabell County, West Virginia, where we are here, and they'll have what's called an extradition hearing. And they'll have a preliminary hearing where the judge can make a determination as to whether or not there's enough there, or set it for a final hearing. But oftentimes what happens at these is that the person will go ahead and waive any kind of extradition hearing, which is really the smarter thing to do.
And I've heard that term, waive extradition.
And I'll tell you why in a minute.
That just means you go ahead and let them take you back to who wants you.
Exactly. And then basically...
Don't stay where you're not wanted.
Yeah, and basically the judge, because there might not be any charges against the person here, mm-hmm. so they can't really move their case forward. So basically the judge will give a time frame, which says they better come get the person within a certain amount of time, or we're going to release them. So with Lawrence County, Ohio, it's right across the river. I mean, they'll pick people up in a week or so, and it's not very far. But if it's like California or something like that, then it becomes a whole bigger deal, because they have to transport that person all the way from West Virginia back to California. And it's not our duty here to do that. That becomes whoever wants to extradite them has to actually come and get the person. And so that's why sometimes whenever somebody's name is run through this NCIC or whatever database they might use, they'll show that the person has an active warrant out of a state, but it'll say something like, don't extradite. I've seen that.
They don't want to pay for it. It's not worth it. Huh?
It might be a smaller crime. It's not something that's really worth pursuing. And if the person's not in their jurisdiction, they don't really care.
Couldn't you just FedEx them?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, just poke a few holes in the box or something.
Let them breathe.
Yeah. I mean, throw some grass in, you know, like a caterpillar or something. Just throw some grass in for them and poke a few holes and ship their ass across the United States.
As long as there's no fireworks or liquor in there, you're probably okay to do that.
Yeah, I would think so. That's what I would do. That's the way I'll cure that. Vote for Tom.
And also, the reason why this is kind of a good idea is that in the United States, there's really no great way to fight extradition, because the local judge who is sitting there, all they know is that some other state has a warrant for you to come and they're going to extradite you. They don't really care about your case. They don't want to hear whether you did it or not. They're not there to make a determination about that. All they know is that basically...
You're costing them money as long as they're holding you in prison.
Yep.
So they might as well pass that back to the other state that wants him and get him off their payroll.
Yeah. And additionally, and I don't know that this is actually a law somewhere, but this is what everybody says, is that if you're fighting extradition, at that point, you're not getting any credit for time served.
Oh, because so you're not really serving time.
You're not really serving time. You're just fighting the extradition.
Oh.
You're disputing the jurisdiction of the foreign court to come get you. So if you're disputing it, then you can't get credit for serving the time, I guess, is their thought process.
All right. Now, let me take your example and take it a step further, though. Mm-hmm. All right. They pull somebody over.
Right.
And when they pull them over, they perform a legal search and they find drugs or whatever. They find some reason to arrest this person.
Okay.
Now they arrest them, and as they're doing their search, they find, they've also got a warrant back in this other state.
Right.
Now, you've got charges in two different states.
Yeah.
How does that work? Well, the other one says, I want you to send them back. Well, you've got drug charges against them too or something.
You're in trouble is what you are.
Well, yeah, you're in trouble. Double trouble now.
Double secret probation.
Double trouble boil and bubble.
At that point, it becomes a determination with the prosecuting attorney what they want to do. Now, they can elect to prosecute them here where we've arrested them and go ahead and proceed with those charges and basically say, you can have them whenever we're done with them.
Okay.
And then the judge could go ahead and proceed all the way through trial and sentence them. They could sentence them to prison here. Mm-hmm. And once they're done with the prison sentence here, then they extradite them back over.
They don't have you get your prison sentence here and then, I mean, like, you know, go through that part of it. Like, say you're convicted.
Right.
They sentence you and then say, now go stand trial in the other state for what they want to do, and then let them do it too.
They could give you probation. They could basically say, you know, we're going to give you probation.
Now go stand trial there.
Yeah, but you don't get out.
But, all right, but does the statute of limitations run out? Like, say you serve 20 years and the statute of limitations is 20 years. Now when you get out, can the other one be holding that warrant the whole time for your arrest?
No, if you are actually fleeing, you don't get the benefit of the statute of limitations.
Oh, okay.
So they can actually try you in absentia as well. It's a different thing they do.
In absentia.
Yeah, it means you're not there. But
that'd be me. I'm not there a lot.
The other thing the prosecuting attorney can do.
Also incognito.
I like incognito mode.
Did you know that?
No cookies.
You heard of Richie Incognito, right?
Yeah.
That lineman. Do you know that's not his real name?
It's not?
No. He I can't remember the story. It had something to do with his dad, and had some other name, and I don't know whether there was a crime associated with it or whatever, but anyway, he didn't want to have the last name. So he just picked the name Incognito, which he wanted to be Incognito. So that's how he got the name Richie Incognito.
I thought he was just Italian.
I did, too. I did, too. I just thought it was his real name, but he actually changed his name to get away from whatever his father's name was or something.
I thought he was just a mysterious Italian man.
Yeah, me too, but he's not. He picked a name that's kind of ironic.
It is. Now, the other thing that the prosecuting attorney could do if there are charges here is they could say, you know what, we're not going to charge them with the crime here. We'll go ahead and let them extradite them now. And that basically, that kind of washes their hands of that case. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what the crime is here and how serious the crime is.
Usually they take them to where the most serious crime is, right? I mean, like if they got you for an ounce of pot in one place and they got you for murder in another, they probably would go take you to the murder charges as opposed to the pot charges.
Most likely, yeah.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, and also if it's like an ounce, I mean, it's probably just a misdemeanor. Anyways, yeah. They probably just dismiss it or whatever.
Yeah, go face that. Now you're really in trouble.
Or give them, or let them plead to credit for time served. Maybe they're in there for a couple of days and I give credit for time served. Get it done with. So, and now there's really not a good reason to fight extradition either. Like legally, there's not really a sound basis for it. And that's because there is an extradition clause in the U.S. Constitution.
Yes.
It requires states, upon demand of another state, to deliver a fugitive from justice who has committed a treason, felony, or other crime to the state from which the fugitive has fled. So basically, even if you don't want to be extradited, the Constitution kind of says that, for the most part, you can. there's really not a good basis to fight extradition.
Okay. So all we're talking about with extradition right here is just within the United States, between the states.
Yes, that would be called interstate extradition.
Well, I could understand that. I could put those two words together and make an argument for that.
Now, the basic requirements for interstate extradition are contained in 18 U.S.C. 3182, and that is the U.S. Code. And basically, it says that an executive authority demand of the jurisdiction to which a person that is fugitive from the justice has fled. So it's kind of like a governor's request, I think it's generally what that's called. And then also they have to produce a copy of the indictment found or affidavit made before the magistrate of any state or territory where they were charged. Then basically whoever the executive is receiving the request must then cause the fugitive to be arrested and secure and to notify the requesting executive authority or agent to receive the fugitive. Then the agent of the executive of the state demanding extradition must appear to receive the prisoner, which must occur within 30 days from the time of arrest, or the prisoner may be released. Some states allow longer waiting periods, up to 90 days. And cases of kidnapping by a parent to another state see automatic involvement by the U.S. Marshals Service as well for extradition. So there's not really a great grounds to fight it. There's some technicalities that have to be jumped through in order to do it, but again, if you're sitting there fighting extradition, a lot of times you're kind of sitting there what they call dead time. You're not really getting credit for it. So,
now, is there any difference between people that are, say, charged with a crime that are, you know, they disappeared so they wouldn't have to stay in trial, and ones that, like, you know, escaped from prison and they catch them five states away? Do you still have to go through the same type of extradition hearing, or is that just simply bring his ass back?
Well, it depends. It depends on where the jurisdiction for the arrest warrant comes from. If it's from a federal facility, then I believe the U.S. Marshals Service would have jurisdiction from them, and I don't think the U.S. Marshals have to extradite them back and forth. I'm not really sure, because the U.S. jurisdiction is all of that.
So if you're an escaped prisoner, it automatically comes under something federal? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you're from a federal facility or serving a federal sentence, I don't think it matters. I think they just take you wherever they find you.
But what if you're at the state pen or whatever and you escape and you just end up five states over?
Yeah, at that point, I think you have to be extradited back. You have to appear before the court where you're found, and they ask you, do you want to waive extradition or do you want to fight it? So, you know, at that point,
I don't want to go back there. They'll put me in prison.
I said I wasn't going back to prison, see?
He won't take me alive.
Yeah, so that's interstate extradition. And it happens quite a bit here in the United States for all of our foreign listeners, because it's pretty easy to go in between the states. Not really much stopping you.
No, nothing stopping you. Well, no. Except for bad bridges sometimes.
That's true.
That's about it. Bad roads.
Yeah, and the states are pretty much forced to cooperate and extradite back and forth. So, I mean, I've seen people released from jail before because the state, the forum state, didn't send anybody to pick them up. The judge said, hey, I'm frustrated with this. We're just going to let them go. Don't get in trouble again, you knucklehead.
I've heard of that. I've also seen movies that were based on people having to bring people back that were extradited, and they've got these people that have to bring them back, so they handcuff them to themselves, and then they always end up on some kind of crazy misadventure.
Yeah.
I wonder if that ever happens in real life. Crazy misadventures.
Probably.
Being handcuffed to a prisoner.
Probably less than you would think. Now, there's another kind of extradition that is slightly different than this.
Yeah?
And I think before we get into that, we might want to have some pending motions before the court.
Well, yes, we have been rather slow on motions lately, but we do have a motion today. We'd like to approach the bench to pay court costs because they're backing up.
All right. Who do we have? Who do we have on the docket today?
We have on the docket Sleep Number. Now, I've got to say, there is nothing that starts my day off the right way better than a good night's sleep. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. That and a cup of coffee and I'm good to go.
That's right. Because a great night's sleep, it gives you more energy. It makes you feel sharper. And for me anyway, it puts me in a better mood. I know if I drag myself out of bed and shuffle around the kitchen till it's time to go to work, it makes it tough.
Yeah, you have less brain fog, you feel sharper, you're in a better mood, and you're more productive.
And you know that the new Sleep Number 360 smart beds help everyone, from parents to non-parents to pro athletes. And that helps them improve their daily performance through quality sleep.
I bet Richie Incognito uses a Sleep Number bed.
Well, I don't know. I think last I heard he was having some mental evaluations because he's had some breakdowns and some run-ins with the law. So
he may be
on a cot right now.
Check that. He should have used a Sleep Number bed.
That might be what went wrong. He didn't have one. And so that's what went wrong. If he'd have had one and a good night's sleep, he would have made better choices.
That's right. Now, many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number beds let you choose your ideal firmness on each side, so it's just right for both of you.
That's right, because she may want it firmer, you may think it's firm enough. So you both just have to play with it until you reach something you can both agree on.
That's right, Tommy. And at a Sleep Number store, you can see and feel how the bed contours to you and relieves pressure points with their individual fit technology. You have to feel the difference.
And that's trademarked, so it must be something. Individual fit with a capital F there on fit. It's all one word.
That's
see how
right.
clever that is? Individual fit technology. That means it fits just for you.
So come in right now and see the newest Sleep Number 360 smart bed. It's your competitive edge from $999.
Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
No way.
Did you know that?
I did not.
That's,
I do now.
That's what the NFL guys sleep on. So if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for us because we don't make $134 million a year. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide.
Visit sleepnumber.com/court to find the one nearest you.
That's sleepnumber.com/court. And have a NFL sleep dream. Sweet dream. I don't know.
Do you know what NFL stands for?
Not for long, if you can't do better than that.
You read my mind. Not for long, if you can't read ads better than that.
Yeah, ask a couple of kickers from this past weekend.
Oh, did they make some cuts?
Yeah, the Browns fired their kicker and the Vikings fired theirs after missing chip shot field goals and extra points to lose games or tie games.
Oof.
Oof.
Now, the other kind of extradition, which is different than the interstate extradition, is extradition that occurs between foreign countries.
I would call that international extradition.
That is probably a very good phrase for that, or term of art.
See, I just put words together and formed something that seemed logical.
That's very Vulcan of you.
Well, that's also the way they termed it in Wikipedia, so.
See, I'm just talking from the cuff here. I'm just shooting from the hip.
Now, your cuff ripped off. You can't talk from that.
That is true. I did have a blowout in my dress shirt today while in a courtroom. My elbow ripped out of my dress shirt.
He turned into the Hulk. He got so mad.
Yeah, when I got here to record the podcast, I ripped it off.
Now, mine only rips out at the belly, usually. It doesn't rip out at the elbows.
I got some pointy elbows.
Yeah.
It's from dropping all those bows in the courtroom.
I got some bodacious belly.
Now, in order for extradition to occur internationally, there has to be some sort of agreement between various countries. And there's actually a lot of countries that do have extradition agreements, but there's a lot of countries that don't have extradition agreements.
Probably as many that do that don't.
I'd say that's probably fair.
Not to mention rogue nations.
Rogue nations?
Yeah. They don't have treaties with anybody.
That sounds like an impossible mission.
It could be.
Now, for example, the U.S. does not have extradition with a ton of countries, some of which I can just read off the highlight list here. Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Burma, Burundi, Cambodia, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Chad. We don't extradite Chad.
Chad Pennington?
No, just Chad. Russia is one we don't extradite with.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't send those two spies over that poisoned those people in England.
Yeah.
Those two guys are claiming they just went on vacation there. They're not spies. They just went on vacation to examine the nice architecture there.
Saudi Arabia and Vatican City's on the list, too. So, strangely enough. And there's also, these are basically countries that we have diplomatic relations with, but we don't have extradition with. There's some countries that we basically have some partial diplomatic relations with, but we still don't have any extradition with. This is countries like Northern Cyprus, South Ossetia. Really, the only one I recognize on there is Taiwan. So there is no extradition between the U.S. and Taiwan.
Yeah, or China.
Or China. Mm-hmm. But we do have diplomatic relations with China. So that's kind of the difference.
Well, now that the tariffs are imposed, we may not much longer.
That's true as well. So, but now there's a lot of countries we do have extradition with.
I find it interesting that all of South America we have extradition.
Pretty much, yeah.
With
if you notice, like Brazil, Argentina, all those, a lot of Central America, Costa Rica, places like that. Most of the places on this side of the globe we do have extradition with. Mm-hmm. So that whole dream of running away to Costa Rica to surf perfect waves. Well, they can't find you for those string of bank robberies in California where you're wearing your ex-president masks.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. Now, even though we do have one also with Mexico, but there have been quite a few times. Of course, most of these were ones that were actually Mexican citizens where they wouldn't extradite the people to us for crimes they'd committed in the U.S., but we went down and got them anyway.
Yeah. Like Dog the Bounty Hunter can do that, too.
Yeah.
Laws don't apply.
He used to be able to. They canceled his show. He can't do it anymore.
Laws don't apply to Dog the Bounty Hunter.
No.
There was one local attorney here, and I say local, he was from Eastern Kentucky, and he was actually pretty much in the news here recently. He had this whole kind of Social Security fraud ring set up where he had the judge cut in on it and all this different...
And a doctor that was cut in on it.
It was like basically he had everything set up. And it was like $550 million Social Security scheme is what they coined it as.
Right.
And he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. And for whatever reason, pending, I guess, some sort of rehearing on it or whatever, they let him out. They let him out on bond or let him stay on bond.
Right.
Well, surprise, surprise.
He skipped the country.
He did. He disappeared.
And not surprising, his last name is Khan.
It is. It was Eric Khan. So,
you remember a while back where I told you that people's last names lead them to their what they do in life? You see that? He was doomed by his last name. He had to go commit a con.
Well, they eventually caught up to him, and when they did catch him, they sentenced him to 15 additional years. So basically, he was going to serve 12, but now it's 15 for basically the running.
Well, he's an old dude anyway. He probably won't get the 12 in.
Yeah, probably not. So basically, what he did is, after being arrested, and he was found in Honduras at a Pizza Hut in Honduras.
You know, when in Rome, do like the Romans. Don't eat at Pizza Hut. That's the first place they're going to find you if you're an American.
He wrote a letter and basically tried to kind of say he wanted to tell his side of the story. He said, what does one do when he is forced to reconcile his respect for what he knows is right and his fear of being sexually assaulted or sexually abused? He wrote the Lexington newspaper. I was not a believer and did not have the courage to seek out counseling. I allowed fear to control my decisions. Khan says he drove to New Mexico, where he got into Mexico through a pedestrian crossing. He says no one checked his identification. He says in Mexico, he used a puppy to cross the border. He thought it would help him get past security officers. He said, the little guy was not exactly Ren 10-10, but I thought almost everyone loves puppies, Khan said.
So he's still running as Khan.
He said basically that his life when he was on the run was horrible. He never got 1 minute of relaxation. He said life on the run was no fun. It sounds like, and he said basically it was almost relieved that it was over. He had apparently lost a lot of weight and other things, and he had some sort of painful guilt or whatever. But he didn't exactly turn himself in.
He didn't have guilt till he got caught. Exactly. Then he found religion.
That's pretty much the way it works.
That's the way they all do.
So, but that was kind of a famous case around here, and everyone always wondered where he was going to turn up because, you know, we just didn't know.
So, right.
It's kind of also an interesting kind of story was the judge that was in on the scheme. He evidently tried to commit suicide at one point as well. So this is kind of a crazy story that happened here. This was in the federal Social Security court system, though not really one I ever practiced in. But
I've known that judge my whole life.
Have you really?
Yeah, his daughter went to school with her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think he's in jail right now, though.
No, I think he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know if they sentenced him to jail or not. I think they had to have some sort of psychiatric evaluation for him or something.
Yeah, well, he's not going to last too long either. He's in bad shape.
Well, he's an older guy.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yep, he's probably in his 80s.
Well, now, when you're thinking about extradition, one of the more famous people that you can't gloss over is Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski.
Yeah. Hmm. Remember, he was, I'm sure you do, but he was basically a Hollywood director.
Right.
And then basically in 1977 he was convicted in U.S. courts for child sex.
Yeah.
And he fled, and he is still on the run from U.S. authorities.
If he ever comes back in the U.S. they're supposed to arrest him.
That's right.
Statutory rape.
Yep. He has Polish and French passport, I guess, as well as his U.S. citizenship. So I guess he still has U.S. citizenship. I don't know. But it's kind of weird because if you notice, a lot of people in Hollywood kind of defend.
They defend him. And they do movies with him. I mean, he's done movies since then.
Yes, yeah. Some of the Chinatown Pianist, he basically directed those while he was a fugitive from American justice.
Yeah, he just couldn't film them here.
French, since he's a French citizen, their law actually prohibits him being extradited to the U.S. So the French government does not extradite its own citizens.
Right.
So that's one of their
most governments won't. It's like if there was an American hiding over there, they would extradite him back.
Yeah.
But if you're asking to send one of your citizens, they normally won't comply with that.
Yeah. Now that's different from the U.S. because the U.S. will extradite their own citizens somewhere else, I think.
Depending.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of countries, they don't agree with the death penalty.
Yeah.
So if you're extraditing them and they may get the death penalty, they won't extradite them based on that.
Yeah. Or I think inhumane conditions in the jail system, I think, is another reason why.
Right.
So they do look out for their citizens in that respect, too. Now, as I said, he also has citizenship in Poland. Polish law does not actually prohibit extradition of its citizens. So since he has dual citizenship, he was in Poland for work, and the U.S. tried to extradite him. This is back in 2014, 2015, so recently. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're not forgetting about this guy.
Right. Especially with the Me Too movement now.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, he was in Switzerland in 2009, and he was placed under house arrest when they were trying to see if they could extradite him then.
Mm-hmm.
So
they've tried a few times.
Yeah.
And he's tried a few times to get them to drop the charges against him and stuff, but it hadn't happened.
Yeah. And actually, the victim has said that she thinks his exile's been enough, but the district attorney says, nah, we don't like that.
Well, I don't remember the whole story, but I don't know. I mean, his defense at the time is he didn't know that she was a minor, but I don't know. I thought I also remembered the mother was there as well or something. So
yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I think there are some circumstances to it, but the bottom line is he was convicted of it and he ran.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, at that point, the victim doesn't really have much say in it because he's not, the victim's kind of out of it to a certain degree. He's flaunting the laws of the United States and California basically thumbing his nose at our
right
at our system. So,
well, you know what other big event he was involved in?
What's that?
The Charles Manson murders. Really? He was the husband or boyfriend of Sharon Tate that was murdered
right.
in the Charles Manson murders prior to all that happening.
I think a lot of people have a lot of sympathy for him for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of had
she was pregnant with his child at the time when she was murdered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, talk about a guy that, I mean, you know, that had so much going on. Look at all he's been through, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. That's a tortured artist.
I mean, I do. That does give me a little bit of sympathy about that. But still, I mean,
it doesn't excuse the other.
I think you have to draw a line in the sand about it and say, look, you're supposed to be sentenced here, so why'd you run?
And 16 will get you 20.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, do you have anybody, any famous people who have been extradited? Or?
Well, no, but I found some interesting things about it, though, about international extradition.
Oh, well, do tell.
Well, it says that between countries, extradition is normally regulated by treaties, where extradition is compelled by laws such as among subnational jurisdictions. The concept may be known more generally as rendition. It is an ancient mechanism dating back to at least the 13th century BC when an Egyptian pharaoh, Ramses II, negotiated an extradition treaty with the Hittite king, Hattusili III.
Hmm.
Not to be confused with Hattusili II.
Oh, yeah, yeah. totally different guys.
But, you know, like you said, that there's a lot of different bars to extradition internationally. Some are failure to fulfill dual criminality. Like, one government may not look on something as a crime the same as another government, and they're not going to extradite people to you if they don't consider it a crime.
Right.
So that's one of the bars. Another is it's if they feel that the crime is more of a political nature.
Mm-hmm.
They won't participate in it.
Right, yeah. They're basically seeking some sort of political asylum type argument or something like that.
Sometimes it's because of the possibility of certain forms of punishment.
Yeah, like you said, the capital punishment.
Right. There's a lot of states, or a lot of countries, I mean, that will not do it, such as Australia, Canada, Hong Kong, Macau, New Zealand, South Africa, and most European nations except for Belarus. They will not allow extradition if the death penalty may be imposed. Now, they can get an agreement that you won't seek the death penalty if they come back.
Yeah.
I don't know how they would enforce that if once you got them over here and then you gave them the death penalty. I don't know what the other country could do about it. So I'd say that's probably why they'd be real hesitant to do it anyway, even if they got an agreement.
Who told you we weren't going to seek the death penalty? Oh, what? Jimmy? Jimmy works in accounting. He doesn't do anything. He didn't have anything to do with that.
I had my fingers crossed.
Yeah. Psych.
Another is torture or inhumane or degrading treatment or punishment. So if you feel like another country doesn't treat its prisoners well, you know, like what was that old movie, Midnight something, where that guy had to get out of that Turkish prison or something like that? It was something. It was a movie from back in the 70s, and they showed the conditions in there were just horrible. That they kept, you know, they would catch like Americans or foreigners in their country doing drugs or selling drugs, and they just kept them in inhumane conditions in the prisons.
You ever been in a Turkish prison, Tommy?
I can't say I have. I've had Turkish taffy.
You like to watch Gladiator movies ever?
No, they're all right, especially if Russell Crowe's in them.
Okay,
that's all right.
Just checking.
Yeah. Spartacus. Another reason they may bar extradition is jurisdiction. They may feel like you don't have proper jurisdiction to bring somebody in for it, so they may not do it on that. Another one is the own citizens, like you said. Most countries will not extradite their own citizens to other countries to stand trial for something. Right to private and family life. Now, I've found this one interesting. A country can say that the damage that it will do to a family is outweighed by the weight of the crime that you want them for.
Right.
And one of the one of the examples they gave was a lady that was a single mother with five children, and another country was wanting her extradited so that she could stand trial for some minor fraud charges that she had been involved with. And they were like, nah, we're not going to do that. You got five kids that are going to be here and won't have a parent while you try this minor fraud case. We're not going to do it. So,
yeah.
So they can turn it down for that.
So it's almost more like a kind of equitable type defense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, just the ends of justice don't meet that.
Now, you wouldn't get away with that if you were in your same country. I mean, like, if you were here and it was a minor fraud charge, you'd have to stand trial and your five kids. Of course, you know, you could say, well, there's people around to take care of them, maybe, but still, though.
Yeah, I mean, the state would come in and probably take your kids away from you.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, go to another country and do it and come back.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't do it here. Suicide risk. If they believe that the person is an actual suicide risk, then they can not extradite him. Fair trial standards. If your country say they don't believe they could get a fair trial there, like Russia.
Yeah.
Do you think you could really get a fair trial in Russia?
Nyet.
Nyet. There again, there's the poison guys running around poisoning people.
Yeah.
And they just say, no, we were on vacation. We've been hearing about this our whole life. We want to go see.
We love this country very, very much.
Yes. We just left some memento behind on the guy's doorknob. Now, have you ever heard of, and I won't say this right either, aut dedere aut judiciare?
I have not.
It's a concept, of course I said it wrong, it's a concept related to extradition that has significant implications in transnational criminal law. And basically what it says is, look, if you won't give them to us, then will you try them for the charge?
Oh, okay.
So that's basically, there's several countries that have agreements that they may not give them back to you, but if they feel that you supplied enough evidence that they did this, they'll try them for that charge in their country.
That would be a logistical nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, doubt that happens very often.
How would you get witnesses to come and forward and evidence and, oh, geez.
Yeah. But they do have that. And, you know, there was a lot of different controversies on different ones. Edward Snowden was one of them.
Yeah. He was, where was he? He was in, I think England for a while, and then he was in Russia, or where he's in Russia now, right?
Well, he was in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
And they allowed him to leave and go to Russia.
Yeah, because I don't think we have any kind of extradition agreement with Hong Kong. We have one with China, but not Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Evidently, we've had some upset with the United Kingdom because they wouldn't extradite three people that are associated with the Enron collapse and the fraud that was committed there.
Yeah.
They're called the NatWest Three.
Ooh.
I don't know their names, but evidently they were involved in that. And then you go all the way back to, case in point, is that of Ira Einhorn. And that was another one that they were trying to extradite, and they wouldn't do it. Sometimes people are actually abducted to bring back to stand trial. And we have gone to other countries have gone to other countries to steal people back.
Well, when you said rendition, that's what I always think of, because there was a movie called Rendition where basically, I think it was the CIA would just grab people and take them to somewhere where there was no extradition and basically torture them for information or something along those lines.
It's not just a movie, it's real life.
It is.
Extraordinary rendition. It's an extrajudicial procedure in which criminal suspects, generally suspected terrorists or supporters of terrorist organizations, are transferred from one country to another. The procedure differs from extradition, as the purpose of the rendition is to extract information from suspects, while extradition is used to return fugitives so that they can stand trial or fulfill their sentence. The United States CIA allegedly operates a global extraordinary rendition program, which from 2001 to 2005 captured an estimated 150 people and transported them around the world. The alleged U.S. program prompted several official investigations in Europe into alleged secret detention and illegal international transfers involving Council of Europe member states. A June 2006 report from the Council of Europe estimated 100 people had been kidnapped by the CIA on European territory with the cooperation of Council of Europe members and rendered to other countries, often after having transited through secret detention centers called, in parentheses, black sites, utilized by the CIA, some of which could be located in Europe. According to the separate European Parliament report of 2007, the CIA has conducted 1,245 flights many of them to destinations where suspects could face torture in violation of Article 3 of the United Nations Convention Against Torture.
Hmm.
You believe that?
That's crazy.
Obama signed an executive order, by the way, to eliminate that. But evidently it was something that was being practiced for a while.
Yeah, and I thought it was just a movie. I didn't know.
No, it was a real thing. Here's what I thought was funny. When I was typing to look for information in Google,
mm-hmm.
you know how you start typing things and things fill in?
Yeah.
Well, all these things started filling in when I was asking about extradition and laws and everything, about where is the best place to go if you want to avoid being captured. What's the nicest place? What's the most likely place? Mm-hmm. All these different ways of phrasing, like, how do I go and get away with something by going there?
Right.
So there's a lot of inquiries going on about it. It's something I've never thought of before. And there's all these different ones going on. But anyway, this one caught my eye. This was one of those boards that was going in. I don't know if you ever heard of this. It's called Straight Dope Message Board.
Oh, yeah.
Heard of that?
Yeah, I've read a lot of stuff on the Straight Dope. It's pretty interesting.
Fighting Ignorance Since 1973.
Yeah.
Well, this guy writes in and he says, this sounds very specific to just be a question asking for a friend, you know?
Yeah.
What's the nicest country to flee to that has no extradition treaty with the U.S.? Inspired by this thread case, but luckily I don't need an answer fast. What is the nicest country you, a U.S. citizen, could flee to without risk of getting extradited? Say you have at least $500,000. This is where it gets specific. And while you're a wanted felon, you're not Osama-level wanted or active in any ongoing criminal activity, so you're probably not going to get SEAL Team 6 or major economic sanctions thrown at you. Throwing enough money at the right people could probably buy you some comfort and protection, I imagine, but say you'd at least just be satisfied with a little cottage somewhere where you could live out your retirement reasonably safe from war, famine, insane dictators, roving bandits, or plague baboons. The map of United States extradition treaty countries seems like a good place to start, at least, though I'm really at a loss, aside from definitely stay away from North Korea and Iran. So, anyone want to weigh in? Your assistance will be remembered and rewarded when the day of, could be an interesting thought experiment.
That's pretty funny.
So, you wrote that in, but here's what I'm surprised. Here I've got like 30 pages of responses of people helping this guy out.
That website is prolific. I mean, there's lots and lots of information on lots and lots of topics.
But it's the very first guy that chimes in
Can we tell where my place is? I already have an answer.
Okay.
Bali.
Bali?
Yep.
I'd have to dig into that.
I'm going to Indonesia. I'm going to Indo.
Well, now, Indonesia was mentioned as a good place to go.
Yep.
Said that, and they were talking about $500,000 really isn't enough money to do much in most places. But Indonesia was one where you'd do all right with that much money
and
there.
And surf there is pretty good.
Yeah, they said there's a few places you have to avoid there,
mm-hmm.
but that for the most part, you'd blend in and it would be all right. That wouldn't be too bad. But it's funny, the first place that was mentioned was Andorra. I'm not even sure where Andorra is.
It's in Africa, I believe.
But it said, it's in Europe.
Thinking of Angola. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a country with a tourism industry, so I imagine it's fairly comfortable. But anyway, several people debate back and forth about Andorra, good, bad, or difference. One guy says, look, it has two ski slopes and a mall. You'd be bored out of your mind in no time, cross the border somewhere, and get arrested. So don't go to Andorra.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But they were back and forth with a lot of different ones. And, there's your Indonesia. It's a destination for Western tourists, particularly Australian tourists.
Yeah.
You could spend your life moving from beach to beach in Bali, and no one would notice you.
And drink a lot of bintang.
Okay.
Drink some bennies.
Said a lot of people were asking about it too, said, have you already committed this crime? Or are you going to commit the crime? Because if you've already committed it, you're kind of putting people on your trail. So you need to have this plan and be out of there quick.
Yeah.
So make sure you should be doing this ahead of committing your crime. So they're helping them plan and think this thing through. Here's the other thing that was suggested. Did you know you can get a second passport?
What do you mean, like a second U.S. passport?
Yeah. Or I don't know whether you get it from U.S. or you get it from somewhere else. You can have two passports.
Yeah, you can have passports in different countries.
So if you have like a passport and somebody seizes it, then you can just have another passport. So you keep traveling. So that's what they were also saying. Make sure you get a second passport. They're helping the guy out, playing his crime. And people are so helpful when you want to commit a crime that they'll just chime right in there. But several of them said Cuba. Go to Cuba. They're not going to extradite you from Cuba.
That's true.
So I don't know, but I just found it amazing that somebody would put that on there. There was a forum to put that on there, and that he got so many responses back.
The Straight Dope is a really good website, and there's a lot of really interesting information on there.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, really?
I just stumbled across that. Like I say, when I started typing in, and I see all these different ways to question, where should I go when I need to flee the country?
Well, it's funny because when I went to Indonesia, I had a 16-hour flight coming up, and I started having all these weird nightmares about the airplane, the jet breaking up over the ocean midair.
Yeah.
And so I started Googling what would happen to you if that took place, and it led me to the Straight Dope, actually. And so I was reading about it. So,
man.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is a part of the show where we talk about different legal terms. I got a lot of good ones here to ask Tommy about.
Oh, good.
What is extradition?
Extradition is when you request that you return somebody to you so that you can prosecute them.
And that's true.
From state. That's interstate.
That's right.
Extradition, as opposed to international extradition.
Which is between the countries.
Between countries.
Now, what controls interstate extradition?
What controls it?
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution.
That's right. Now, if you don't appear for court, what might the judge issue?
A capias.
That's right.
A copious capias if there's a bunch of you.
And then also, what's another name for that?
It is a writ. Must appear or cease and desist or return to sender.
An arrest warrant.
Oh, an arrest warrant. That's too easy.
Well, I know.
I wanted something more technical.
I couldn't believe you couldn't figure that out.
I know. I was looking for something. I outsmarted myself.
Now, if you don't come to court in West Virginia, you can be charged with a new crime. What is that called? And what is this sentence?
Fleeing.
No.
Failure to appear.
Yes.
What is the sentence? 12 years. No. 6 years.
It's a 1 to 5.
A 1 to 5? Yeah, it should be more.
Yeah.
Eric
Kahn was sentenced to an additional 15 years for fleeing. So, but that's in federal court.
Well, he should have been sentenced to more than that. He defrauded the government out of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And now, here's the worst part. All these people that he represented for the Social Security benefits, they've all been cut off.
Yeah.
Because they don't know who legitimately got them and who didn't. So they cut off all these people and they all have to reapply. And some of these people legitimately had disabilities.
Yeah.
The problem is a whole lot of them didn't, though.
Yeah.
So they have to cut them all off and make them reapply. So you got some people that are entitled to their benefits that are suffering right now.
Yeah, based on his greed.
And that ain't right.
I agree. It's not right. Well, that's going to do it for the Legal Briefs. You did pretty good.
I did do pretty good.
Yeah, it's almost like you paid attention.
I did. It was an interesting topic. I enjoyed this one. I didn't even have much time to prepare today, but it was an interesting topic.
Yeah.
I've been busy with all this stuff, with PT on my knee and helping out get Charlie from school and having to run around here and there, and just makes it tough.
Well, I've been busy too. I'm in the middle of soccer season.
Yeah, that's right. You got to run to go to a soccer game.
Well, practice.
Practice. That reminds me. We're going to have to do some scheduling for next week to make next week happen.
That's right.
I got to go out there with the fam to Portland for some shows that are going on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys are going out west.
Yeah. Yeah, the boys are doing some shows and Sawbones. And
we have my brother and me, or?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have that. And they're going to have, I think they're open with Sawbones, maybe Schmanners a night. And,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe even the Adventure Zone.
So if you are in Portland, you should go check it out.
Yeah, I think they're doing 3 shows, but I don't know where they're all at. I just know I got to go and be a grandparent and babysit.
Are they just in Portland, or are they going to Seattle? Or just?
I think they're going to 3 different locations to do shows, but I should know that.
Yeah.
All I know is what flight I've got to get on and that I'm going to end up in Portland, but I'm not sure all the particulars. Yeah. I just go where I'm told. Wherever Mary tells me, I go.
Well, don't get in trouble there. We'll have to get a rendition to bring you back.
Well, okay, I won't. But aren't some of those out there, aren't they like drugs are legal?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
Somewhere, aren't they?
In Washington State, I believe you can actually use marijuana legally, just recreationally. Just for giggles, literally. Hmm.
Well, I don't know that I'd want to, but, you know, you got to keep that in mind just so in case you encounter somebody on the street or something, you know?
Yeah. It's like, hey, man, want to do a dube?
I would say, no, I don't believe so. I don't know you, sir. Not dupe me.
You sound like a cop. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out though, right?
Usually. Good. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I am...